Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries broadcast. We are broadcasting live. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all the praise. He's worthy of all the glory. And he's worthy of all the honor. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about what God is doing in the lives of his people. And I'm definitely excited with God, the Word of God that is going to come forth in this house all this morning by none other than our pastor, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. Amen. But before we do that, let us prepare our hearts. Amen. For prayer, and immediately following prayer, I'll give the announcements. Amen. And then the next voice you will hear will be none other than Sister Melissa Butler with praise and worship. Amen. And following that will be none other than our pastor, Apostle Christopher McQueen, delivering the Word of God on this morning. Amen. Amen. Come on, people of God, let us bow our heads and look to the Lord this morning. Father, we bless your name and we glorify you and we thank you. We praise you and we lift you up, for this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing and we are glad in it. God, we thank you for your protection. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your strength. God, we continuously thank you that we get to see another day. Father, we thank you for the purpose that we are in you. God, we thank you for the Word of God that is getting ready to be delivered in this house in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that this Word is getting ready to save, deliver, heal, comfort, and set free in Jesus' mighty name. Father, even now, as we, your people, come before you, we just humble ourselves at your feet this morning. God, we thank you, we glorify you, and we praise you. Father, we ask that you would wash us from all of our sins. God, forgive us for all of our sins of unrighteousness. Wash us and cleanse us and make us whole in the blood of Jesus. And as you're washing us, God, wash our minds, our hearts, and our spirits, God, this morning. We want to be clued in on you. We want to be tuned in to your frequency this morning. We want to hear what thus saith the Lord for your people. Father, as we lift up our hands this morning, we ask that you will purify and lift up our hearts, purify our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our strength. Give us the power, God, to continue to go through, to continue to move through the process, Father, in the name of Jesus. Begin to strengthen our hearts, Lord, that we will stay focused on you, that we will not be distracted from either side. That whatever the enemy tries to bring, God, we have to recognize that we are overcomers in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, we ask that you would crown the apostle's head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. God, we're asking that you would strengthen his body on this morning. Father, let us not see him, but let us see the Christ in him. Let him begin to speak forth the oracles of God on this morning. Let this word come forth in power. Let this word come forth in strength. Let this word come forth breaking up shackles and tethers over the lives of your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Let this word bring healing, God. Let this word begin to birth out signs, wonders, and miracles in this place. In the name of Jesus, all to give you glory, all to give you honor, all to magnify your holy name, all to just thank you for what you have done for us. Even now, God, we ask that you will begin to anoint your people. Blow on their gifts, God, every gift that is laying dormant in this house. Blow on it, Father. Allow us to bring it up out of the ashes. Oh, God, allow us to begin to move forth in your strength. Bring it glory unto your name. Bring it glory unto the kingdom of God. Father, we bless your name, and we thank you. We praise your name, God, and we glorify you. We lift your name up, Father. We worship your holy name in this place. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God, I thank you that you're raising up intercessors. I thank you that you're raising up prayer warriors. I thank you that you're raising up watchmen and watchwomen that will stand up on the wall and will not look to the left or to the right, but will stay on the pathway, that will stay focused, God, that will hold on to the horns of the altar and not let go, that will tell the people of their sins and transgressions, that will tell the people of what thus saith the Lord. Oh, God, we thank you now that you're bringing in lives. Oh, God, we thank you now that you're saving souls. Oh, God, we thank you now that your hand of mercy and grace is upon us. We worship your name. Oh, we glorify your name. And we bless your name. We give your name all glory. We give your name all honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now everybody put their hands together and open up your mouth and give God the glory. Hallelujah. Oh, we give God all the praise, the glory, and the honor of this day. Amen. He is worthy of the praise. He's worthy of the glory, and he's worthy of the honor. We just challenge you to trust him on today. And as you trust him and you lean on him, not to your own understanding, but give him everything, he shall, he will do exactly what he said. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. Amen. Now for this morning's announcements, people of God, just want to let you know that every Tuesday at 7 p.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyle broadcast with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. That's Tuesday at 7 p.m. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. That's Thursday at 7 p.m. And on Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m., join us live for our broadcast, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Amen. Amen. Now, I just want to let you know, you can hear all of our broadcasts live as well as see the media at www.ctkr.org or ctkr.org. Amen. Amen. As you're looking at our website, we do pray and ask that you would become a mission partner and a prayer partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. Glory to God. Now, for those of you who are interested in this ministry, you want to learn more about us, amen, Apostle McQueen or myself, or you just want someone to touch and agree with you in prayer. As you're on our website, that's once again www.cckr.org. Go to the Contact Us page at the top of our website. Click there, follow the instructions, and someone will contact you within, or I should say at our earliest convenience. Amen. Amen. At our earliest convenience, we shall contact you. Glory to God. And finally, we want to let you know that we have Facebook pages. Go to our Facebook page. You can locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, amen, or Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. Love to hear from you, and we definitely want to know how this ministry is blessing your life, amen. Glory to God. Those are the announcements for this morning, people of God, amen. Glory to God. Let's give God a hand praise for the announcements of this morning. Amen. And the next question we're here is none other than Sister Melissa Butler with the Praise and Worship.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, we bless the Lord all today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. First, praise and worship unto the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I'm ready. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, oh God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God.
Come on, let's give God a praise all over the building.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is our King. He is our Lord. Hallelujah. We walk in honor of you. Hallelujah. God, we worship you in Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Amen, this morning to receive the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's put our hands together for the word of God. Amen. It's the reason why we live. It's the reason why we move. And it's the reason why we have our being. Amen. It's by the word of God. Amen. So without further ado, amen, all over this building, let us, amen, begin to just prepare our hearts and our minds to receive, amen, from our pastor, amen, Apostle Christopher McQueen, amen, as we're getting our Bibles ready, amen, to just begin to, you know, focus and begin to realize that God is for us, amen. Regardless of whatever you're going through, you got to know that God is for you, amen, and his thoughts, amen, towards you are for you to have an expected end, amen. He doesn't want ill, evil, or should say, God's true design for you is not for you to succumb and not for you to be defeated, amen, and not for you to leave this earth without recognizing and walking in your purpose, amen. But his purpose for you, amen, and the reason why he called you, amen, and birthed you, amen, into this world is so that you will represent him, amen, in the earth, amen, and that you shall fulfill his purpose in your life, amen. Glory to God, amen. Well, people of God, I'm going to move out of your way, and now let us prepare, amen, to receive from none other than my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Let us receive him.
Look at your neighbor and tell him God is good. Come on, tell him God is good. Come on, tell him God is good. God, a good praise. Now we're looking at all that God has done for us and all that God is doing. Must be very careful at all times to give God his praise. Look at your neighbor and tell him, don't forget his praise. Come on, tell him again, don't forget his praise. I just feel the presence of the Lord here. We have so many things that we want to do on this morning. I would like to remind you that it is God's will for us to celebrate him. For those of you who celebrate and observe the Sabbath on today, God bless you. Amen. And for those of you who this is just the beginning of a beautiful weekend, God bless you as well. We want to invite you to join us every week for our service, amen. And we know that God is meeting us and God is speaking to us and God is saying some things for us, amen.
Amen.
On Tuesday night, we do Kingdom Lifestyle broadcast at 7 p.m. And on Thursday night, we do Prophetic Atmosphere at 7 p.m. And then Saturday morning, intercessory prayer starts at 9 o'clock. Amen? Amen. And we intercede until about 9:25, stirring the atmosphere. At 9:30, then we begin the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries broadcast. Amen. On Saturday morning at 8 a.m., we start again with intercessory prayer from 8 o'clock to 8:20, 8:25. And then at 8:30, we began the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries broadcast again. Amen. That'll be the Sunday edition. So we're grateful, amen, for what God has given us and how he has spoken to us and how we're moving. Amen. And we know that because God has mandated and ordained this, then he's going to make sure that he gets the glory out of our lives. Amen. Look at your neighbor and just say, God gets the glory out of our lives. Amen. Come on, clap your hands before the Lord. Oh, yeah, that's a good place to put your hands together. Thank you. Amen. We appreciate all that God does for us and with us. Amen. This morning, we're going to go back in and begin to look at the Word of God. Amen. As we have begun to study and to deliberate in the Word, amen, if you will. There's some things that God is trying to say to us that we have to get to, and we have to come to an understanding of, amen. But we have dealt with it's time to build, and then we move from there to how are you living, amen. And you have to understand, these have themes, amen. These themes that we're using, amen, actually have foundation in themselves, amen. Because, you know, the building that was built is a dwelling place, amen. So if it's a dwelling place, then that means that God knows exactly what he's setting us up for, amen. And that is so that he can indwell the temple. Amen? Amen. So that means that if he's going to indwell us, we have to understand how we have to keep the temple. Amen? I'm waiting on that to settle in your heart, because too often what happens is we come up with some things that we feel should happen, certain way we feel should happen. And then we try to hold everybody to that, amen. And we don't necessarily get in the Word, amen. The Bible says very clear that in those days, every man did what was right in his own eyes, amen. And when they do what was right in their own eyes, then what ends up happening is they mess up. And then they try to make up for messing up. But God, the way that he does it, he doesn't mess up. Amen? He don't mess up. We fail to come up, but God don't mess up. Amen? That's it. So when he challenges us to come up to another level in him and to begin to do things on a different level. Amen? And we have to learn how to do better. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to learn how to do better. Oh, come on, tell them again. We got to learn how to do better. We can make it everybody else's fault and everybody else's, you know, you did it and you didn't do that. And if they had I tried, but they said. And, you know, after all is said and done, it really comes back down to what did you do? Did you go out and compel them into the proper response? Y'all see that?
Yeah.
Huh? In the Word, it tells us to go out to the highways and the byways and compel them.
Yeah.
You see that? That means don't go ask them and wait for a no. If they give you no answer, do you have a valid argument that might persuade them to a maybe or a yes?
Amen.
If you ain't got no word in you, you ain't got nothing to say. Hello, somebody. Huh? And that's what we find many times. People want they want the titles, but they're not ready for the work. Amen?
Amen?
Look at your neighbor and say, it takes some work. It really does. It takes some work. You know, this is not for the faint of heart. Amen? This is for those who will actually go in and do the work. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's going to take you, you know, going through some things. People are going to say some stuff and they're going to feel nice to you all the time. Sometimes it's going to touch your nerves. If you ever notice that when you try to help someone, sometimes they touch the right nerve.
Yeah.
They can say the right thing at the right time, and it turns your helping heart into a trouble spot.
Right.
And the reason is because sometimes when people are hurt, they lash out. Don't take it personal. Just recognize and realize that people who are hurting will hurt people. Can I just say it like this? Hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
And they do. Amen. So you can't be a Christian and have thin skin. You got to have thick skin. Because sometimes they help you. Amen, somebody.
Yeah.
Sometimes to deal with helping you, you may have to vent. Amen.
Yeah.
And just because you're running off at the mouth, I can't take it personal. Amen.
Yeah.
If you are giving a baby or a child inoculations there, and as soon as they get ready to get that shot, they start crying and everything else. Now, it's not to hurt you. It's going to ultimately help you. But at the point that it happens, it's not that pleasant. But if we don't deal with the shot, we can't get the medicine in. We don't get the medicine in, the repercussions of that could be far worse than that little shot. Amen?
Yes.
Look at your neighbor and say, sometimes it ain't going to feel good. But God got your best interest at heart.
Yes.
Amen. Come on, give God a praise right now. Glory to your name. Let's go to Colossians, and we're going to go into Titus. Colossians, the third chapter. And then we're going into Titus. Because I'm talking about how we need to be living now. Right now, the nation is on edge. Once again, our unarmed teen or black male was killed. This time by a police officer. They described the officer as being someone who is nice and doesn't really bother anybody. But it goes far beyond that because the problem didn't start in Ferguson. Amen?
Right.
The problem started a long time ago. And see, when you have people who are in denial and like to go over things and let them, you know, they operate outside of the realm of norms, subcultures. Amen?
Yeah.
Right now there's rallies for KKK over that way, as well as rallies for justice for Michael. We're looking at a clash that is set to happen. Where do we as the church stand on this? Very difficult position. If you take into account that your ethnicity,
yeah.
If you take into account whether or not you believe it's a law-abiding thing that has happened or not. We've seen this with Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. There were people who were celebrating the fact that Zimmerman got off, only to find out with his actions after that, that if you don't deal with the problem, it gets worse.
Correct.
So there he is abusing and doing other things, so pulling guns and the rest of that, because he just got off with murder. And, you know, they said, well, we didn't know. We look at the world today and we see how they're dealing with the presidency. Isn't it interesting that they have lost respect for the office because of who's in the office? Yet running for the same office so that they can restore respect. It's not really a respect, it's a cover. Because they never thought that a black man, or in his case, a mixed man, should get into the White House. The white establishment has fallen. Huh? Then he went and won again. They couldn't stand that. When we talk about the fact that his opponent at the time did not even think to write a speech just in case he lost, they were confident that the white man would rise up again. See, I'm talking about what's right and where we need to be at in the scripture. But I got to set the groundwork properly, amen? Because we keep shouting over this, and that's why it's dangerous for you to be looking for your new car, your new house, and your new... We got to deal with regentrification, where they take us and outprice us in our neighborhoods where we grew up, and then they come in and rebuild it and make it too expensive for you to live in a house that your mama lived in, that your grandmother gave them, that got from your... They think that's prime location. Just a little bit ago it was the hood, and you wouldn't be caught here after dark. Push you way out where you can't, you have to pay a premium because it takes money to get your goods to you way out there. And that's what they learned, is living in the suburbs was the thing. But now the suburbs cost. So we want to go back in the city where all the services are. And where's the church on this? Oh, it's going to be one of those this morning. But that's all right. See, the thing is that the body of Christ, we're supposed to realize and recognize that we are in the world, but not of the world. So everything that you see going on around you is just the world going through its pains and its woes. Because it is trying to fight the plan and the purpose of God. Hello, somebody. So what we see then is when we begin to calculate each one of these and we begin to bring it together and analyze it, we see that all of this is stuff that's happening outside of the will and plan of God. But now let me say something else to you. Nothing can happen outside the plan and will of God. What do you mean? I'm saying that God is in control of the good, the bad, the pretty, and the ugly. Amen? He is. And when we recognize that, then we need to look at these things and understand that God is trying to do something through us, for us. But we have a responsibility to demonstrate the character of God. Now let's read this here. Colossians 3, amen. And let's go down to the 15th verse. I believe you'll be reading from the King James Version, if I'm right. Amen. I'll read from the New King James Version so that I can give it a little clearer. Let's read it from the King James Version first. Well, let's go back to the 12th verse. Go back to 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. Oh, Jesus, help us. And forgiving one another. It is interesting here at this point, at this juncture, that if the officer, Darren Smith, is that his name or something like that, if he were to say, God, forgive me,
Where's the church in that matter?
Just let me see. Sit right there.
Because this is the characteristics that we should have. And you can't forgive and hold at the same time. Either you're going to let it go or you're going to keep it. Are you going to let this go or are you going to keep it? And what if he never says sorry? What if he never says forgive me? Have you prepared a space in your life, in your mind, in your mental capacity to house him? Huh? Because what happens is when you would not release or forgive, then you got to carry them in you. You see that? So when we know when you got somebody residing within you, because every time somebody brings up something that's remotely close to it, you go back to that instance of that person. They show up and speak. There's somebody I should mention right now that every time you start talking about churches and things and how God is moving, they go back to how they at one point gave up all that they had to serve the man, the woman of God, and how bad they felt after all was said and done and what somebody did, what somebody does. Stop. Hold on. All you're doing is talking about the hurt that you allowed to take residence inside of you. So you never forgave that man, that woman of God. They went on and got on their knees and the Holy Spirit checked them. They got it right and came back before the people and said, if I've done wrong to anybody, please forgive me. And you sit there like this and I ain't forgiving you. I forgive you, but I ain't going to forget what you did. The problem with that is when you say, I forgive you, but I won't forget it. What you did is you just made a nice little one-bedroom or studio apartment in your intellect to hold on to them so you can remember. My question to you is, how can God heal you when you refuse healing? Because forgiveness is healing. You don't believe me? When God killed you, when God forgave you, didn't he kill you of your sinful past? When God forgave you, didn't it begin to mend some of the hurts of your past life? Forgiveness heals. We as a nation right now, we're in the need of healing. Let the church say amen. If anyone has to complain against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you also must do. That means that there is not an option here. Well, Lord, I could forgive a lot of stuff, but I don't know if I can forgive that. Look at your neighbor and say, he ain't asked you. Come on, tell me again, he didn't ask you.
He didn't ask you.
Come on, say it again, he didn't ask you.
He didn't ask.
He commanded you.
He commanded you.
Amen. And in doing so then, amen. I get that right. You can't preach over that. And in doing so,
amen.
What he's doing is he's preparing you so that you can grow. I talked about stagnancy before. Whatever is in stagnant water will grow. It'll grow. But it's all the bacteria and all those other things that will cause you to have problems in your life. If you drink stagnant water, it is water that will kill you from within. Amen? Now think about this now. Think about it and get it deep in your heart. If God is telling us to forgive, then what God is trying to do is prepare us to live. Because you can't live over dead stuff.
Amen.
You can't. You got to let it go. Look at your neighbor and say, you just got to
let that go.
It says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So then that means that if we're going to deal with this, and remember,
we talk about keep your focus, and we're going to preach that sermon, but that key in focus is compassion.
Yeah.
You can't have compassion if you don't love.
That's very true.
You just can't. You can't. And love makes me look at you, but we have to understand that that love right there, when I have love on the inside, it overcomes. It's a everything that the enemy has set up in my life, every hurt, every disappointment is taken care of at that point. Love covers, but love also cures. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's go to the 15th verse. And it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body.
Peace of God. Can I ask you a question?
What's in your heart? Look at your neighbor and just ask them that question and see if they have a good answer for you. Just ask your neighbor, what's in your heart?
Oh, that's
me. What's in your heart?
See,
this is the issue here now. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So regardless of what you say, politically or religiously correct, your Christian character is identified and validated by your speech. That's a little tough, ain't it? I love everybody. I can't stand it. I love everybody. Okay, if your eye quenches, when certain people come around you and you're supposed to love everybody with the love of Christ. Huh? You see what I'm saying? When you have a thought in your mind over certain people and who they are. Now, understand that there are people who have made it their business to become an enemy of God. Not because you did it, but because they decided that that's what they wanted. Amen? You got to be realistic, amen? They decided that that's what they wanted. Hmm? And since they wanted it, that's what they're going to get. Huh? Let's see. If it's up to me, I have to live peaceably with everyone. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body. Okay, let me figure out, prophetess, bring me that other Bible. Bring me my other Bible over here. I know what I need to do here. I need to walk a little bit. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Before I get to that, be thankful, I want to deal with this peace of God. Thank you. And the reason why I want to deal with this is because too often what happens is we have been taught that you have a right to feel or to think or to respond a certain way. Amen? Children are told that if somebody hit them back. We were sharing, Prophetess and I, watching the home HDTV, whatever that is. We were watching that, and we were noticing that they were fixing up, what's it called, the fixer up? That the show? No, it was the fix up one. It's the farm, the husband and the wife. And they got the kids. And you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Now, the thing is that the children are playing with each other. There was a couple that was went out and had a house that they were going to get some stuff done. So they picked the house, and I'm going to preach on this house eventually because that house was bad when they finished it. But it was a mess when they first saw it. Yeah, I'm going to preach on that. But the thing is that the children were playing with each other. The couple that were getting the house redone, the wife was black and the husband was white. Huh? And the child, of course, is mixed. So when they came out to the bar to see the plans of what she planned on doing and how she was going to do it, then the kids are out playing with all the goats and everything else out on the farm. And the little mixed girl was sitting there not knowing what to do. And those kids ran up and grabbed her and, "Here, let me show you," and grabbed the things and was showing her how to feed goats, and they're off playing and enjoying themselves. What am I saying here? There's times when we were watching that they were picking up animals and little dead mice and stuff like that, and dead mouse. And Daddy said, "Oh, she picked up a dead mouse. You want to kiss it? Can you do that? Give me that." In other words, there was no fear instilled in the child. There was no hate instilled in the child. You see this? These are things that are learned.
Yep.
So when we talk about the peace of God, rules in your heart, you got to learn how to let the peace of God override what you've been taught that dwells in your heart. You've been taught to hate certain people.
Yep.
You've been taught to not like certain things. You have been conditioned. So if a police officer walk in, you have a fairness towards that officer. Every police officer is not bad.
Right.
Every black man is not going to jump on you and rob you. They're not all bad. Every white person is not a racist. Oh, somebody needs to help me here. But if that was in your heart, then the peace of God is nowhere. Because when it comes out to dealing with your brother and your sister, who may be white and a police officer, or black and a police officer, or just a person out on the street, your heart will tell you how to deal with them. And if the peace of God is not on your side, you can't deal with them.
That's right.
That's why I said rule. Everybody said rule.
Rule.
Rule is a governing factor. That means before you can take a position, the ruler has already decreed and declared how you shall handle the matter.
Yes.
Look at your neighbor and say, "The king has already spoken."
The king already spoken.
Oh, yes, he has. The king has already spoke. I don't care what comes up or how it comes up or how you're going to try to qualify it. After all is said and done, the king has already speak. And he said, "All people, all men."
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. All right. So then if he's going to rule in my heart, then that means I have to allow him place a ring. There has to be a throne here. That's why when we get into worship, we get into a position where we worship and we take time in praising him and worshiping him. It's not about singing three songs and out. It's not four songs and out. We're going to sing one fast, two slow, and then we're going to turn it over. No, no. It's about setting the atmosphere. Look at your neighbor and say, "Set the atmosphere." Because when he comes in and he begins to rule in our hearts, then we begin to understand that whatever is not here, he begins to evict it out. Amen? He begins to purge it out. Huh? When the Holy Spirit comes in, he comes in as a deluge. And whatever is not anchored down, he begins to flush out.
Yeah.
Huh? So all that hate and all those other things that are on the inside, we get rid of them because they have no place. Amen? All right. Now, let's look here. Go to Romans 14 and 10. It says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at law thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, give me that in the Message Bible. I'm going to read it to you in the New King James. Amen. It says, but why did you judge your brother? Or why did you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Look at your neighbor and say, sometimes we just have to leave it to God. I'm trying to help somebody right now. Somebody is watching me right now, and you're waiting on me as a black African American a preacher to say something towards civil rights and the rest of that. But right now, I don't need to speak to that. There's enough voices convoluting the atmosphere. If we're going to be men and women of God, some place here, we're going to have to get back to kingdom. How can I be a kingdom citizen and not live by kingdom principles? Oh, I know that. That's the problem right now. We need more preachers, more black men standing up and saying something across the pulpit. No, we don't. What we need is to preach more holiness. See, back in the day, we preached holiness, unadulterated holiness. We preached sanctification. If we go back to Colossians, the first verse here, when we begin to look at all of this, then we begin to see some other things, don't we?
Yeah.
It don't measure out like we think it should. It causes us to have some other problems. Amen. Let's read it here in the Message. It says, so where does that leave you when you criticize a brother?
Right.
And where does that leave you when you condescend to a sister? I say it leaves you looking pretty silly or worse. Eventually, we're all going to end up kneeling side by side.
Yep.
Huh? In the face of judgment, face of God, your critical and condescending ways are going to improve your position there one bit. So where's the church on these matters? Brothers and sisters, we need to be seeking souls. And when we get saved right, then we'll have the power to change and affect the change that will cause people to do right. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, you have an opinion and everybody got one of those.
I would say it a different way, but I'm a man of God.
Amen?
Uh-huh.
Huh? Why are you sitting around trying to make people come to your level when you haven't arrived there yourself? God is trying to get us to walk and to live it the right way. Do it the right way.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And stop messing up kingdom principles. Huh? All right. Let's go over here to Titus, third chapter.
We don't like this first verse.
Remind the people to respect the government and be law-abiding, always ready to lend a helping hand. Because right now, we've had a Republican. Democrats and Tea Partiers telling us all kind of stuff about the government. I told you already about President Obama. They can't call him president. They call Obama. They don't respect the office. The office is greater than the man. And even if you have problems with the man, you respect the office. I was watching Red Tails, and one of the officers said something to the guy. He said, "You know what? I don't care. You all just gonna be a bunch of niggas." And he looked at him, Terrence Howard, he's scared to look at him, and got ready to say something, and the guy said, he said, "Respect the uniform." And Terrence said, "That's about all I respect, is that uniform." See, the thing is that there are people in position that don't merit respect. But until God takes them out of position, respect the office. Amen? See, if we go back over to Africa, we see the problem is, and I saw one of my spiritual sons was venting a little bit. He said, "Look at all these Kenyan officers over here. We got them in, they got into office, and when they got up there, they started serving themselves and what they were trying to do. And they forgot about those people who sent them into office. We need to send them back home. Put somebody else there who's going to take care of the senior people." That's not something that's new. We're talking about here. When we had President Obama say that he was going to end the wars, then everybody who was making money from the war had a problem with it. And look at who all that was. You don't have to go far. We know who those people are. If you don't know, then you need to go do your homework. No. We need to be over there to stop. You don't want me coming into your house telling you how to kiss your wife
right.
And how to hug your kids. What are we doing over there?
Exactly.
That's their house. That's their culture and way of life. And you can't westernize everybody.
Right.
Okay? But if you go over there and you know that there's support services and this, that, and there's going to be government contracts and they're worth billions of dollars and you got a company that just so happens to then you are for all of this. This is wonderful. Oh, my goodness, yes. And look at how many people we're putting to work, you know, that we're supporting families and everything else. Yeah, but look at all the lives you're destroying. Can we get the VA fixed? Can we fix our infrastructure here? Huh? See, we can't do stuff here because we're trying to take care of stuff there. There's something that I learned a long time ago. My mother and father told me, they said, "You take care of your house first, and then you can go help somebody else. But don't you be so busy helping somebody else, you can't care for your own." America, we need to wake up. We have made this some of every other thing, but we need to deal with the truth. Let's read this, because I got to go. It says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men." The Message Bible says, "No assault, no fight." God's people should be big-hearted and courageous. But I like your assaulting people. I got to come back. You don't say this, that, and other. I got something for you. If you don't like it, I've been working out MMA. Yeah. Just because you knocked me down, I don't think I fell down. You knocked me down. I actually fell down to get a position for that guillotine thing I want to put on you. Oh, you're doing way too much.
How come we have such a hard time being
honest? I saw somebody said they're not going to insult anybody anymore because it's a sign of immaturity. And I want to tell them, you don't insult people because it's a sign of Christianity. No assaults, no fights. Be peaceable, gentle, showing humility
to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish. Now, let's look at this now. We were foolish. Now, if you want to know what God thinks about those things and those type of lifestyles, look at what he said. He said, we were once foolish, just like this. We did all that stupid stuff. We was running around, cussing people out, hating everything, and being hated. Amen. Give it to me in the King James Version. Amen. Huh? Living away, doing all kind of stuff. Go back a verse. To speak evil, no man, to be no wrongers, but gentle, showing meekness to all men. Next verse. It's at the end. I don't know where it is. But we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Now, let me show you how it says it here so you can really understand it, amen? It says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient. And let me just say something right here. We still have a problem with that old focus. Faith, obedience, compassion, unity, sanctification. We still have a problem with the O. God tells us to do something, and if it doesn't fit what I feel like doing, we supersede obedience to come to our common sense. But you need to understand that Saul, as I go back there, Saul had the kingdom. And God kept giving him time after time after time to get it together. But when he couldn't get Samuel to work, respond like he wanted, thousands matters into his own hands. Listen to the people. The people said, oh, you're the king. Why are you going to, you're going to kill everything? You need to bring the, you need to bring that king back so we can parade him because he's your trophy. And all these sheep and all this, this is wonderful plunder. We can't destroy all of this. Look at this. And Saul listened to the people. When God came and challenged them through Samuel said, what is this you have done? He said, oh, I obey God. He said, then what is this bleeding of sheep out here? And well, the men was like, you know, said, how come you have not killed the king? Well, you know, we were trying to see every excuse is still disobedience. And he's talking about disobedience here in our character and what we should have. Disobedience should not be among the things. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know how I got there because the next verse is deceived.
Yeah.
That means that when you should know better, you fool. Serving divers lust and pleasures. Serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Give to me a message. I like the how it says over there. You have to understand, God is trying to get us to see something. Because all we're talking about is what's going on in the world and how God wants to deal with the tear. Wasn't long ago that we ourselves were stupid and stubborn, dupes of sin. That doesn't say anything about intelligence, does it? Okay. Ordered every way by our own land, going around with a chip on our shoulder, hated and being hated. Hated and hating back. But when the kindness of the and the love of the of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. I'm just going to bring it right there. We're going to park until tomorrow. God saved us. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God for Jesus. Message Bible says he saved us from all that. It was his, all his doing. We had nothing to do with this. He gave us a good man. In other words, if we're going to get out the mess we're in, we're going to allow him to get us out of it and clean us up. You can't do it. He did it.
He's going to have to do it. One last scripture. We don't have to turn to it. You know it. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Give them other sins. I will heal their land. We can't get to that until we turn. Brothers and sisters, it's time to get it right with God. What are we going to say when the fighting is true? You run out with your Bible, try to tell them, in the name of Jesus, isn't it better? An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. Can we bring them the remedy, which is Christ? Can we take off a color and put on the Christ so they can see that? Live the life. Compel them. Let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds, and then demonstrate that until the people begin to feel the peace that we feel. And then things begin to settle because we've taken command and authority in the atmosphere. But sisters, that's our job. It's what we're supposed to do. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to get this thing up. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this opportunity. Now, Lord, we have some things that we have to do. Oh, yes, we do. We got to get it together. The world is seems like it's going to hell in a handbasket. And some of us are carrying it, skipping along as it goes. But understand, Lord, that there's some things that we need to do. Amen. If we're going to deal with this kingdom lifestyle and the kingdom responsibility that you've given us, help us to understand that we can't sit back and act like it's everybody else. We have to take responsibility in this and get it together in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, maybe someone needs to, wants to accept you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that they pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that I raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church where they can be developed, mature, and go on to live the kingdom lifestyle, accomplishing every assignment you set for them. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are sick. I pray for those who are in need, those who need a miracle. We speak right now that the miracles, signs, and wonders will manifest in your life and that God gives the glory out of every healing and deliverance. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank God, we thank God, and we thank God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, we go to our website, www.ctkr. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, along with my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We say to you, we love you, and we pray that you continue to live the life that God called you to. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Come on, give God a praise all over the earth.